old school.
It's going to be stolen, I think, by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Stolen by Bird and the captain, DJ. Yes!
Buckle up for Kobe Bryant.
New era.
Oh, a jawbreaker. Curry, way down to bang.
It's all basketball.
A spectacular by Michael Jordan.
Lace them up. It's time for 1010XL's Open Gym. Leading the break, here's R.J. Saunders.
And it is the basketball show for the basketball fan. The NBA playoffs are here! Going to take a look at day one, game ones, on a little show here called Open Gym. R.J. Saunders here with you. Absolutely love this time of the year as a basketball fan. A lot of win or go home scenarios, the anger-induced trauma that you suffer from your team's losing. The therapy that you may need afterwards. But if your team wins, you're screaming like a maniac. And that's all going to happen on today's program. Running the lane with me today is one of my close friends. You hear him on the Frangie Show. You also hear him on Into the Night with Rick Ballew weekdays here on the Superstation. JJ LaSelva, what's going on, my man?
Not a lot. How are you?
Man, pretty good. And I want you to answer our question of the day here, which we always do every week. 641-1010, you can let us know your feelings on it or on the YouTube chat line. Do you have a favorite playoff series?
Yeah, I really like the Clippers versus the Mavs because I have absolutely no idea what's going to happen. I feel like most series I know who's going to win.
Right.
And there's a lot of stars. There's some old guys. But still big names, and I'm intrigued. Today, 3:30, I'll be watching.
Absolutely. You can either let us know what is your favorite playoff series of these NBA playoffs, or...
Oh, just in general, ever.
You can let us go to the past.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know
that.
We can
go a little bit to the past
okay.
as well. JJ, if you want to give us a past playoff series that you
love to Okay, so there was a Boston versus... Bulls series.
2009.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, I think it went to seven
went
and five
seven.
Games, went to overtime or six games. It was absolutely epic. I lived in Ocala at the time. I was 19. I watched every game from my friend's couch. I was living at my mother's. and it was Derrick Rose,
ben
like
Gordon.
Taj Gibson, Bulls.
Yeah.
Tibbs was the coach, I believe.
Yes.
And every game was just nip and tuck. And yeah, that's one that sticks out for me. That was like a non-NBA finals series.
Absolutely. That's the one for me too. JJ and I had, as you can see, a long conversation about this. We had the same answer with
I'm sorry I stole that.
No, we, this is what we do, JJ. Come on, man. We're close like that. We have the telepathy thing going on. 2009. Bulls Celtics, that was a phenomenal series. Had the Boston three party with Garnett, Allen, and Pierce. You also had Ben Gordon, Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah. John Salmons had himself a game. I believe it was like game three. He dropped 30.
Hurricane legend.
Absolutely. That game went seven that year. 2009 had a lot of great NBA playoff series, especially if you're an Orlando Magic fan. You took down the King to go to the NBA Finals, although he did have that great shot in Game 2 at the top of the key. If I were to give a secondary answer to favorite playoff series of all time, it would certainly be the Lakers against the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. Now, that series was just... That was blow for blow. Carmelo Anthony, an absolute dog, finally got him a point guard. And Chauncey Billups, who was able to reel him in and say, listen, you're going to get your shots, but we need everybody else to get their shots as well. Yeah, Kenyon Martin on that team. Many people thought maybe it would be hard for Kobe Bryant to get up that hill again after losing to the Celtics in 08 by a record margin. And Kobe does the face, I believe, game four does that face where he's showing his teeth. Ultimately wins that series, I believe, in six or seven. So let us know your favorite playoff series, whether that be from the Orlando Magic or just the NBA in general. We'd love to hear from you, 641-1010. This is going to be a real quick segment here so we can hopefully get to our first guest of the show. We are going to be efforting Chucky Atkins. Used to play in the NBA for a long time, made stops in Detroit, also made stops with the Lakers, actually spent a year in Orlando, USF legend. So quickly, I'm going to try to give my feelings to all of the game ones from yesterday and what I'm going to kind of expect from each of those series going down the line. So out of the four series, at least for me, I think that there are two that are going to be defined by the others, the X factors. One being the Knicks versus the Sixers series, which the Knicks won game one yesterday. I think 111-104 was the final score. And the Nuggets versus the Lakers, which the Lakers absolutely fumbled. I told you. You'll need therapy during the NBA playoffs.
Oh, even when they had a lead in the first half, you knew that wasn't going to hold.
I thought it was, JJ.
Yeah, well, that's the Lakers.
I thought it was.
The only game I did watch yesterday.
Yeah.
And they looked great.
Yes.
But I was like, wow, it still took them a long LeBron 3 to have the lead at half. Like, the Lakers played out of their mind and still only led by 3 at half. That's when you know what time it was. KCP took over.
And there we go. And that's exactly where I'm going. So I'll start there with the Lakers Nuggets series. LeBron James is going to get his, as we saw. I think he had 27 points. AD going to get his. I believe he had 30-12. Jokic and Murray, they're going to do their thing. When it comes to the others in that series, and mind you, both benches for both of those teams were not ranked in the top 15, weren't ranked in the top 20. They were at the bottom half of the league when it comes to bench production. But when you think about the other guys on the floor, there's going to have to be people when you sit down Jokic or you sit down LeBron or you sit down AD, which I think Bob Myers is right. When one sits, the other is going to play. So if Jokic sits, Murray's going to play. LeBron sits, AD's going to play. One's always going to be on the floor. But look at a guy like Michael Porter Jr. You're able to lean on him. Gives you 19 points. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope only had 12. But look at the stretch in which he got those points when they needed it the most.
That run in the third quarter, I think it was like a 13-15-0 run. That totally separated them. The game was over.
The game was over after that. You look at a guy like D'Angelo Russell, I get it. He's going to have to be the third guy. And we're going to talk to John Ireland about the L.A. Lakers in our last segment of the show, and he'll give us an insight about what's going on with the L.A. Lakers. But you go 6-20. 1-9 from behind the arc. I think only had 13 points. Austin Reeves, there was times where it didn't look like he wanted to shoot. Didn't look like he wanted to be aggressive at all. And last year, you could argue he was the third best Laker in their playoff run last season. He didn't look like he wanted to shoot the ball. If I had to define that series, I'd go, shoot. Here we go again. If this is going to be the series again, because the tough thing about it is, you give Denver a lead, let him get back in a ball game, it's hard to close the deal in your efforts as the opponent to come back and A, make it a ball game, and B, win. That could end in a sweep yet again, and we can talk about the Lakers and what potentially will happen in the offseason. We'll do that later. When I get to the Knicks and the Sixers, Jalen Brunson didn't have a great game. He didn't. But he has guys. Josh Hart had a great game. Deuce McBride is making a name for himself with the New York Knicks off the bench. Undersized guard, but can shoot it. Dante DiVincenzo should be in the conversation for most improved player. Don't know if he'll win it. Hope he does. We'll see what happens there. But this is going to be a series where it's going to have to be the others. Joel Embiid, damn you! That dunk was incredible. Now he's injured. No. And this was supposed to be one of my favorite series going into the playoffs, with Embiid staying healthy, seeing him and Tyrese Maxey as the 1-2 punch. Nick Batum is having some sort of resurgence. Kelly Oubre now being a guy that's going to shadow Jalen Brunson, and he did a great job on Jalen. This is going to be a series where it's going to have to be who is going to get it out the mud. I think it's going to come a lot. It's going to come down to points in the paint and rebounds, which I believe New York was plus 22 in boards, which is incredible because, I mean, you know, Philadelphia has a size advantage. But they were also, I believe, plus 35 in bench points. Not saying that Philly can't turn it around. Not saying LA can't turn it around. But it's those two series are going to come down to the others. Phoenix, you have an ant problem. Call an exterminator. Anthony Edwards has 18 big points in the third quarter. Trash talking Kevin Durant, calling him a bum. Oh, I can't wait to see how that series shakes out in game two. And mind you, Phoenix had swept the season series against the Minnesota Timberwolves. But it seems like Anthony Edwards wakes up when it comes to playoff situations and playoff moments. And isn't it wild? I had a friend point this out to me. Isn't this crazy that the super teams Kevin Durant has built haven't been successful? He's only done it twice. It hasn't been successful? You mean to tell me Devin Booker, you... Where were you, my guy? 18 points on 16 shots? Bradley Beal played 37 minutes. You only took 10 shots. Kevin Durant played great. But I thought at the beginning of the year, this was supposed to be the Thanos team. Snap of the finger, the NBA championship is theirs. Of course, they need a point guard, but... Got three of the top scorers in the league. We'll get to the Orlando Magic series in the next segment, and hopefully with Chucky Atkins, former NBA star. Spent a while with the Detroit Pistons, notably. But just quickly with that Orlando Magic series, I'm not scared. I'm like Paolo. Not scared. Not scared at all. But before we go to our first break, got to get to this Magic moment, because we are sponsored now by my bookie. So, JJ, if we do have that, I got you. I got it. This Magic moment brought to you by my bookie and their My Bookie Casino. Hit it, JJ.
This Magic moment.
This Magic moment. It's brought to you by MyBookie. Experience the Vegas thrill from the comfort of your phone anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
All right, so I got three for you just real quick. The correct series score, I got the Magic at plus 600 to win this series. 4-2. I think they win game two as well on Monday at 7 p.m. Winning the conference in terms of which conference is going to win the NBA Finals after watching the series last night. And that was only one half of the eight games that are going on this weekend. Give me the Western Conference as minus 107 for the Western Conference to win that series. The Bucks play the Pacers in today's game one matchup. Give me the Bucks to win game one, but I'll take the under when it comes to first half scoring today, which my bookie has at 57.5. I'll take the under on that one. We will take a short break here. When we come back, we'll talk about the Orlando Magic series with Chucky Atkins, former NBA player, was in a couple of playoff series himself as a former player. He'll join us next to talk about everything come NBA postseason right here on Open Gym on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's all hoops. Open Gym on 1010XL.
Going to still continue our efforts in getting Chucky Atkins, former NBA player with the Detroit Pistons, the LA Lakers, and the Orlando Magic. Speaking of the Orlando Magic, a tough 97-83 loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers yesterday. Paolo Banchero, he continues to put himself in quite elite company here. 25 and 5 stat line. He finished the game with 24 points, but he had a 25 and 5 stat line. And I saw on Magic Twitter that there's only two other players to have had that stat line at age 21 in their debut in the playoffs, and that's LeBron James and Luka Doncic. Seems like Paolo Banchero continues to find himself in the same stratosphere as LeBron James and Luka Doncic. If you heard the Magic Minute on late Friday, early Saturday, he's putting himself in elite company with the milestones in which he is reaching. If I could say what that series game one felt like, it felt like an Orlando Magic team that this was their first time in the NBA playoffs. It did. And it wasn't no harm in that. There wasn't no foul in that. I mean, I had them winning game one. If you heard me last week, I thought they would win game one. However, it seemed that you're facing a Cleveland Cavaliers team who, granted, they were in this same position before you were just last year against the New York Knicks. The New York Knicks were a much more physical team than the Cleveland Cavaliers. Donovan Mitchell and company really did know how to combat that, and it showed, and they lost. There's a lot riding on the Cleveland Cavaliers this season to be successful. Should they lose, you're hearing reports that Donovan Mitchell could be on the outs. A lot of insiders saying it's probably the worst kept secret that Donovan Mitchell may leave Cleveland after this year. However, I just do feel that depending on how these playoffs shake out, it is going to be rather crucial for them if they're looking to keep Donovan Mitchell long-term and sign him to an extension. That's the Cleveland Cavaliers side. They're a team that you would assume has learned from their mistakes last season. Now with the Orlando Magic, I could feel the jitters coming out of the TV. It seemed like Cleveland came out the gate. I want to say they hit their first 3 or 4 baskets, hit a couple threes. Evan Mobley is cashing them in from the corner and from the right wing. Donovan Mitchell hitting threes. And hey, look, I think in this series, although I'm saying that Orlando wins in 6, I do believe that there are going to be 2 games in which Cleveland wins, yesterday being one of them, where Donovan Mitchell is going to completely win that game on his own. Because arguably, he is the best player in that series, Paolo Banchero being the second guy. Orlando, it was tough. Absolutely tough. You shoot 32% from the field, 22% from long range, and 60% from the free throw line. And I got to give it to Paolo Banchero after the game. He said, even with all that, the game was still close until the last few minutes. And he's not scared. I think Franz Wagner said the same thing. Not scared either. Now, I'm not scared. I don't play for the Magic, but I wouldn't be scared being in that series. No. I don't think they're scared of the moment. I don't think the lights are too bright. I just think they played like a team. It's their first time. Jalen Suggs, he takes a shot. It was almost like, dang it, I hope I don't miss. Franz Wagner almost the same way, even though he had a pretty good game himself. But it felt like Orlando just couldn't get to where they needed to. Until, honestly, there was a play in the game. Jalen Suggs posterizes, I want to say that was Niang. And it felt like Orlando snapped out of it. All the jitters, all the kinks, all the bugs, all the cobwebs that were hanging up there, it seemed to disappear. He gets the three-point play. Then he knocks down a three a couple plays later. Cleveland calls a timeout. Orlando's slapping hands. They're still down, but they're slapping hands, and it's like, all right, like, let's go. This playoff basketball, we're here. Okay. I think if they come out with that sort of aggression, that type of aggression, that type of physicality that I still believe that Cleveland does not want to mess with, I think this is a much different series. I do like the fact that you have Jonathan Isaac out there to start the contest. I do enjoy that. I do also like that you have Gary Harris, Jalen Suggs kind of being that 1-2 matchup to put different bodies on Donovan Mitchell. Just going to have to shoot the ball a little bit better. Not saying that this was the greatest of shooting teams. However, in the second half of the year, this is one of the better defensive teams in the NBA, the Orlando Magic are. I don't know if this is a others matchup, because this one from yesterday, just talking about yesterday's matchups, this one is the most interesting to me. Because you have your two stars, that's established, and Donovan and Paolo. Doesn't it almost feel like, well, who's going to be the second guy to take that mantle? You assume for Orlando it's going to be Franz. I would believe that the assumption for Cleveland would be Darius Garland. You could also make a case for Max Strus. But I feel who's ever the better second guy in that series, I say wins the series, which I just feel Orlando's going to calm down. Now, when I look at today's matchups, when it comes to game ones, JJ, I don't know. How much of a chance are we giving Miami without Jimmy Butler?
Oh, my God. This is revenge with Boston, too. I would say, like, 10% at the most. I even with Jimmy Butler, I mean, he's been so bad this season. I know he's all about the playoffs, and he becomes possessed when the playoffs start. But I don't see it. Boston this year, way too strong. I know the Heat culture. I know all of that. But to me, they're even lucky to be here.
Absolutely.
I don't think they're going to win even one game. I think Boston's going to be so pissed about what happened last year. They're going to destroy them. And with Jimmy Butler out, it's
almost a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, absolutely. This series, to me, is, out of all the three today, the least interesting. That's why it's at 1 p.m. Like, even the Bucks, Pacers with Giannis out.
With Giannis out.
It's really intriguing.
That's an intriguing series when you talk about that matchup as well. The Indiana Pacers, a team where it is, you know, Tyrese Halliburton.
And started out hot this year, but he's started cooled out very off a hot. Lot the last few months.
Right. And I think this
they don't
is his
play
first
defense.
Time. Don't play defense. And it just feels, I don't know which Milwaukee Bucks team we're going to get. Even with Giannis out, even if Giannis was even in this series to play game one, I don't know which Bucks team we're going to get. They've been an interesting bunch all year. You have the whole Doc Rivers thing coming in the middle of the year, and now reports are coming out that Dame thought we would be what the Celtics are by halfway through the season once I came. Now the reports out there that Dame isn't happy in Milwaukee, just as a city, not with the team, but just in the city, he's not happy.
They're probably not happy with his production this year.
Probably not. If they lose this series, which, you know, I don't know, but I thought that they would be a lot further along.
Yeah, by now.
By now than what they have been.
So they are actually underdogs today. So, yeah, they could definitely lose the first couple games of this series, and then, you know, like last year, they're gone. First round, again, with Giannis being hurt.
And
Giannis ended up coming back last year against Miami, but he didn't look great.
And that's what pisses me off about this team so much. They're a team that you look at the beginning of the year, even before the Dame trade, they're a team that you look at the beginning of the year and you say they could win an NBA championship. They're also a team that you look at and you say they could be bounced out in the first round. That's how much of a conundrum they are. And I'm sure with Milwaukee Bucks fans, that has to irk you.
Yeah, I mean, they probably want to do the Dame trade over again. And then they got...
Really?
They ship their best defensive guard...
Drew Holiday.
...over to the Celtics, like their main rival in the East. The Celtics end up winning 1,000 games. Meanwhile, they have to fire their coach... You know, they're
in the middle of the year.
Defense
is
terrible. Yeah. You know, Dame gets blown by everybody. Middleton is having to make excuses in the media for Dame's bad defense and really hasn't even been great offensively this year. Now with Giannis out, I could definitely see them losing this series. The only thing is the Pacers really limped.
They did.
Like the last half of the season.
They did.
Really. It's been, they started out so hot. I thought they were going to be a great team this year.
And then they make the Siakam trade. And you're like, oh, wait a minute now. That Siakam trade gets done. And
They steal game one on the road. They have to be favored to win the rest of the series.
They have to be favored to win the series, without question. JJ's favorite series with the Clippers and the Mavericks. I'm not trying to sound like a typical Angelino basketball fan here, being a Lakers fan, and I just don't want to say, you know, the Clippers are going to be the Clippers, but
it's hard to argue they won't.
It's hard to argue that they won't be.
They also are underdogs at home today
against
2.5-point underdogs. What's the deal with Kawhi?
Apparently,
is he playing?
I guess it's going to be a game time decision with Kawhi. And why does it always happen now?
Yes.
Always now. It's never at the beginning of the year, somewhere in the middle of the season. They'll be ready for the playoffs. It's now.
So without Kawhi, I guess we're going to have Westbrook starting.
Oh, no.
Westbrook,
Harden, Paul George.
Westbrook could win you a game.
No, he can. He did that last year against Phoenix.
More likely lose you the game, though.
And then finally, before we go to break here and get John Ireland on, Pelicans versus Thunder.
Yawn. I mean, with
just
Zion,
due to the fact
this
that Zion is out.
Yeah, exactly. With Zion, Ingram didn't play like the last, I don't know, 3 weeks of the season and then came back right before the playoffs started. So he hasn't looked great. The playing game, he really looked terrible against
the
Lakers. I don't know what he did the other night in the other play and didn't see it. But I expect OKC to roll in this series. They got so lucky they didn't have to play the Lakers.
Oh,
I
would have
picked the Lakers.
Bullet.
I would have picked the Lakers
they
to beat OKC.
Bullet.
But in this one, I think OKC rolls.
However, I'm also going to say with the OKC Thunder, I think they probably are going to have a Magic problem. This is their first time.
Maybe next round.
Right. Right.
Like, we're too young, we're inexperienced, never been here before. But against the
Pels,
I think that won't matter.
Right.
I think.
This is going to be interesting to see. So to kind of put a cap on all this, not scared for the Orlando Magic. I'm not fearing them getting swept or losing in five games or anything like that. No. I think they bounce back in game two. I have them winning game two. I think the series in which we're going to see tonight, there's so many question marks with a lot of teams, excluding Boston, who you assume is going to cakewalk into the NBA Finals. You assume that?
I did last year, too, though.
But we did last year. However, they are a whole different squad, and you hope that the ending for them is a lot better in terms of getting to the NBA Finals instead of getting bounced out in seven games like they did last year in the Eastern Conference Finals. All right, we're going to get to John Ireland here, Lakers radio play-by-play voice. Want to start talking to a lot of the media members from around the association for teams that are in the NBA playoffs and started off with John Ireland. Recorded this on a Friday. because he was just landing in Denver, said he wouldn't be able to talk on Sunday. So we didn't know the outcome of yesterday's game, but gave some great insight as to how the Lakers are feeling morale-wise going into that series, and really want you guys to get an idea of what the Lakers were thinking about going into Game 1. So we'll get a inside look as to how the Lakers are playing this series against the Denver Nuggets with John Ireland here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Take your shot. It's Open Gym on 1010XL.
Welcome back to 1010XL and 92.5 FM. It is the Open Gym. So glad you are with us. It is the NBA playoffs. That's right. Play-ins are over and done with. It is now postseason action across the association, and I am thoroughly excited about what the playoffs have to offer for us as fans, and I hope that you are too. I want to start doing this as the playoffs are now up and running. I want to get an idea of what certain teams are feeling, what's the morale, how do they feel about their matchups. And being a former Angelino, I had to start with the Los Angeles Lakers, who are going to face the Denver Nuggets in a seven-game series. And the man that I'm going to be speaking with here, although he doesn't know it, I am honored and grateful to just be speaking with him and hear his voice, because this man has been an integral part of not only my childhood, but really my career when it comes to what I am looking to accomplish. I remember being a six-year-old kid watching this guy, and you hear him laughing as I say this, but as a six-year-old kid growing up in Monrovia, California, and being the diehard Lakers fan that I am, he had a pregame show with Allen Massengale and James Worthy, and they would talk about how the Lakers were feeling, Shaq and Kobe, whether they were in Sacramento or San Antonio or Portland, and give an inside scoop just before tip-off as to what the keys were for the Lakers to get a victory against whatever team in which they were playing. And the man we are speaking to right now is John Ireland. He is the radio play-by-play voice of the Los Angeles Lakers. He and Michael Thompson do an outstanding job. And you can also hear John weekdays on his program on ESPN LA titled Mason and Ireland. So, John, normally I would say to people, welcome to the gym, how are you? But in this case, all I can say, sir, is thank you. Thank you for giving us just a couple moments of your time. And thank you for being one of my heroes from a distance.
Well, first of all, I'm very flattered by that, RJ. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on your show. And, you know, it's funny. Do you mind if I ask how old you are?
Yes, sir. 29.
Okay. So for me, that guy was Chick Hearn.
Yes.
Legendary Laker announcer.
Yes.
For anybody listening out there, if you've never heard the voice of Chick Hearn, do yourself a favor.
Yes.
And go on YouTube and type in Chick Hearn, and you'll, if you're like me, you'll be there for 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
To, you know, like the greatest guy to ever do it. So for you to tell me that I was that for you is incredibly kind and incredibly flattering. And so thank you.
Absolutely, sir. And Chick was phenomenal. And he's without question one of the Lakers legends, even though he didn't play and wear a Los Angeles Laker uniform. However, I could say the same thing about you, sir. Even though you didn't wear an LA Laker uniform, you are certainly a Los Angeles Laker legend in your own right. And that's just my opinion. So let's get into it. Let's get into the Los Angeles Lakers. What were your initial thoughts of the team going into this season? I mean, they bring in names such as Jackson Hayes, Thorian Prince, and Gabe Vincent to add on to the regime that they had brought in last season at the trade deadline with D'Angelo Russell and Rui Hachimura and Jared Vanderbilt. And of course, the Lakers had suffered their fair share of injuries throughout the season. Jared Vanderbilt hasn't played much, nor has Gabe Vincent. However, the Lakers find themselves in the exact position they were in last year, facing the Denver Nuggets in what is a rematch of last year's Western Conference Finals. But before we get into the series, I just wanted to get your feelings of the Los Angeles Lakers going into this season and what you've seen from them this year.
Well, I think they're disappointed that they didn't do any better than seventh, RJ. I think they had higher hopes than that when the season started. But having said that, they've won 12 of their last 15 games.
Yes.
Playing their best basketball at the end of the season.
Right.
You mentioned Gabe Vincent. Gabe's only played 11 games, but when he's played well. And D'Angelo Russell and Rui Hachimura are both better this year than they were last year.
Yes.
So they have a chance against the Nuggets. I'm not going to tell you we're going to beat the defending champs. Denver deserves to be where they are, and they're really good.
Absolutely.
And we just landed here in Denver, and they're going to have a huge home court advantage starting tomorrow night. But it's kind of good news, bad news. The bad news is the Lakers finished seventh. The good news is they're not playing like a seventh-place team right now. Over the last 15 games, they've been really good. So they have better than a puncher's chance. Like, for example, last year we got swept by Denver in the Western Conference Finals.
Right.
I would be shocked, RJ, if this is a sweep. Shocked. I think these teams are both too good. I see this going six or seven games. Obviously, since I'm a Laker fan, I'm pulling for the Lakers. The Nuggets deserve to be favored. But I think we're going to have a better series, a more competitive series than we had a year ago.
And that makes me very happy to hear from a distance as a Lakers fan, because I was going to ask you, Darvin Ham says that, look, we're not ducking anyone. We're not ducking any team. And that includes the Denver Nuggets. Anthony Davis goes out and says, look, we want all the smoke. We don't care who it is. We're going to play the Denver Nuggets. And if they win, they win. So I wanted to get from you, is the energy that this team is giving off communicating to you that they feel they could beat the Denver Nuggets four times out of seven in a series?
100% yes. And here's the weird thing. Most fans and most media don't give the Lakers a chance.
Right.
The players do not feel that way at all.
Good.
The Lakers think their attitude is bring it on. Okay. Let's go. And that's what you want.
Yes.
If you're a Laker fan. You don't want them scared. You want them going into this not only thinking they can win it, but convinced they're going to win it, and they are. I want to be very careful whenever I talk about this series, not to publicly disrespect Denver because they're so good, and Jokic and Murray are so good that they deserve to be the favorites in the West. I can see why a lot of people are picking them to win the whole thing. Having said that, think about this, RJ. When's the last time nobody gave LeBron a chance to win a playoff series? I don't think it's ever happened.
Right. It's been a while.
It's happening a little bit with this series. You listen to people on TNT and ESPN talking about it's just a matter of how many games the Lakers can make this go, but they have no chance to win. Our players absolutely do not believe that. They think that they're not only going to be competitive, but they think they can win.
John Ireland, our guest, he is the radio voice of the Los Angeles Lakers. He's also the host of the Mason and Ireland show that you can hear weekdays on ESPN LA. So, got to get into LeBron James here. He's one of the greatest players that we've ever seen pick up a basketball, but it's been remarkable what he's been able to do in year 21. Normally, when guys get to this point, you normally see them on the decline, and we've seen many of the greats hang around for 20, 21 years and not have the production that LeBron James is having. You having a courtside seat to all this, what have been your thoughts on the Kings' play for the Los Angeles Lakers this season?
One of the most impressive things I've ever seen as a sportscaster, and I started my career in 1985.
Wow.
And there's just never been a guy, RJ, who's done this, that's put up these types of numbers at his age. As a matter of fact, this is kind of a goofy stat, but if you take every player who ever played in year 21, guys like Vince Carter, Dirk Nowitzki, that group.
Yes.
And you add up their average points. Vince Carter, before this year, held the record for most points per game in year 21. He averaged 8 points a game in his 21st year. LeBron's averaging 25.
Right.
He almost averaged a triple-double. He's going to be all NBA this year.
Yes.
I don't know if he'll be first team, but I think it'll be second or third team, and he deserves it. He is still, at his age, he's 39, and he's in year 21. I think he can play 2, 3, maybe even 4 more years if he wants to. He doesn't need the money.
Right.
But he's been that good. He has been one of the best 15 players in the league all year long. And when we win, it's normally because of him.
Absolutely.
You know, Anthony Davis is an elite player. AD is consistent. If you were going to have a draft, I think people would probably take AD before anybody. But LeBron has been that good. And the only reason you wouldn't take LeBron in a draft like that is because he's not, you know, as he puts it, he's closer to the end than he is to the beginning.
Right.
And you just don't know how much longer he's going to play. But he has been great. And the thing that I didn't know before he came to our team, I had, you know, done two of his games a year.
Yes.
Going back to, you know, his whole stints in Cleveland and Miami and then back to Cleveland.
Right.
I didn't know he was this good of a passer. He's one of the best passers I've ever seen. And he actually would tell you if you get him one-on-one, he likes assists more than he likes points. And that's a really weird thing to say about the guy who's the NBA's all-time leading scorer.
Yes.
Because, you know, he obviously is better at scoring than anybody.
Right.
He might be I'm convinced of it because I like you, grew up in Los Angeles and watched Magic Johnson. LeBron's a top five passer of all time.
Oh, without
that
question.
That good with passing the ball. And, you know, and he's a good rebounder, too. So,
yes.
As you can probably tell, I've run out of ways to describe what he's doing.
Right.
Because he's consistently doing something we've never seen before. This is history. We're going to talk about this 20 years from now about how good, you know, I called Kobe's last game.
Yes.
When he was 38 and scored 60 points.
Yes.
And LeBron does that like regularly. You know, Kobe did it as kind of a farewell love letter to the fans.
Yes.
LeBron's doing it every night. So he's been that good.
It has been incredible what LeBron James has been able to do with the purple and gold. And you talk about him possibly playing three or four more years. There is a report out there that LeBron James does want an extension and he does want to stay in LA. And this is the question I have for you, and then I'll explain it. Do you believe that the LA Lakers should give him a 3 or 4 year extension? I mean, this guy's going to be another year older by the time things get going next season. He's playing in the Olympics this year, so that's going to be more mileage on his body. And I saw Kobe Bryant when he got the 2 year $50 million deal to really end his career as a Los Angeles Laker. I think looking back at it, I didn't know if that was the right thing for the Los Angeles Lakers to do, and I don't want them to make the same mistake twice, but I could be overthinking it. If you were in that front office, would you give LeBron James a 3-4 year extension and give him max dollars?
I'd give it to him, and you know, it's easy for me to say, it's not my money.
Right.
And obviously I'm biased because I love announcing his games, but as long as he's playing at this level, you know, the difference between LeBron and Kobe was, at the very end, Kobe wasn't playing at this level.
No.
Kobe was, you know, Kobe's maybe my favorite player of all time.
Absolutely.
He wasn't doing this.
Oh, no,
And he wasn't playing, at the end of his career, RJ, he wasn't playing 65 games a year.
Mm-mm.
Like LeBron is.
Right.
So I would give it to him. I think the Lakers know what they've got. You know this because you grew up in L.A.
Yeah.
We're a star-driven town.
Oh, without question.
We need, you know, people are not coming to see a team with no stars.
Mm-mm.
And LeBron is the brightest star in the galaxy.
Yes.
Teeny Buss, our owner, has often said that when one of these guys comes along, you hang on for the ride as long as you can.
Right.
And I think that's going to be your attitude. I mean, it won't be all Genie's decision. Rob Pelinka, our GM, will probably, you know, make that call with Genie's approval. But my sense of it is, let me just answer your question this way. My sense of it is that LeBron's going to play for the Lakers at least next year and probably for the next 2 or 3 years. But
right.
I'd be shocked if he goes anywhere else.
John Ireland, our guest, he is the radio play-by-play voice for the Los Angeles Lakers. So you can't speak about LeBron James in the purple and gold without speaking about his running mate, and that being Anthony Davis, who I feel has played phenomenally himself this season. You could make an argument that he should be in the running for Defensive Player of the Year. It seems to me that he's heard all the talk from the national media that he's always injured and he doesn't play enough games, and he's really exceeded everybody's expectations, and you clearly see it when he's on the floor. He's one of the foremost dominant players that we have in our game. What have been your thoughts of AD this season for LA?
Well, you're asking me about something that I think is one of the biggest myths in all of the NBA, and that is Anthony Davis doesn't play enough.
Right.
There was a time, RJ, in January where somebody smarter than me went back over the calendar year, like 365 days. So January of 23 to January of 24.
Right.
And the guy who had played the most minutes in the entire NBA was Anthony Davis.
Wow.
And when you put it that way, it's really unfair to criticize it. Most of his injuries have been fluky. Like some guy rolls into him or gets blocked into him. This narrative that Anthony Davis doesn't play enough is so wrong and false but I know it's out there. You aren't wrong to ask me about it or bring it up. I know it's out there. I think one of the TNT guys at some point over the past few years referred to him as street clothes because he's always wearing street clothes.
Yeah.
It's just not true.
Right.
I mean, I obviously have a front row seat to all this, but he has been durable. He's the whole key to our defense. But I'll say this. You heard all that great stuff I said about LeBron.
Yes.
The guy we can least afford to lose is AD because he runs our defense.
Yes.
And it allows our guards to go right out on the other team's guards, protect the three-point line because they know if they get beat off the dribble that AD is like Shrek down there in front of the rim swatting everything out of there. And so right. he's our best defender. He's an elite offensive player. And I don't know if most people know this. Anthony Davis grew up as a guard.
Yes. His
sophomore year of high school in Chicago, he grew 8 inches.
Yeah.
So this was a guy when he was growing up that was ball handling and shooting outside and doing all the things that guards do. And then he grew 8 inches. And all of a sudden now he's 6'10" and he's doing all that stuff as a big guy.
Right.
So he's a tremendous weapon. He's a great guy. He's really fun to cover. And I get a little, as you can probably tell, I get a little defensive when people say, well, what about Anthony Davis? Is he going to play? Is he going to be there?
Right.
He plays all the time.
Yes.
And when he plays, he's normally great. And that's why we have a chance against the Nuggets. If LeBron and AD play like they normally play, that kind of negates Jokic and Murray, who are great players.
Right.
And then it leaves it up to somebody else to decide the series, whether it be Hachimura, Reeves, Russell, or on the other side, whether it be Michael Porter or Aaron Gordon or KCP. So I think it's going to be a real good series because I think the four superstars are going to keep each other in check and somebody else is going to have to rise up.
And I understand that we're talking about the Los Angeles Lakers when it comes to this season and what they're going to be doing in the playoffs against the Denver Nuggets. However, I want to go behind the curtain just a little bit, if you'll allow me, with the future of the LA Lakers. You're hearing reports out there that LA may get involved in the Trae Young sweepstakes and try to put their name in the hat when it comes to acquiring the Atlanta Hawk all-star guard. However, it's going to come at a price, and you're either going to have to give up guys like D'Angelo Russell, who I've loved in his second stint with the purple and gold, or you may have to give up Austin Reeves, who I feel the Lakers internally as an organization love, and he's been a great third cog in the Lakers' offensive attack beside Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Is this something that the Lakers need to look into, in your opinion? Less, like you said, LA is a star-driven city. The Lakers are a star-driven team. Is acquiring Trae Young something that the LA Lakers should look into and have him be the third star of that team?
Well, you asked me, should they? I'll just tell you, they're going to. Specifically the player you mentioned.
Okay.
But they're gonna look around the whole league, and because of that, they are going to explore everything. And a lot, RJ, may determine how this series goes.
Okay.
So if this series goes well, we're competitive. If we win it, make a deep run, that improves the chances of us not making a huge offseason move.
Okay.
But if we were to get swept again, I think that's when you start looking at anybody who's out there and put the Lakers as a player in those sweepstakes.
Final couple of moments with John Ireland. He is the radio play-by-play voice for the Los Angeles Lakers. He's also one half of the radio show Mason and Ireland. You can hear weekdays on ESPN LA. A's. So before we let you go, just have a couple more for you. And again, thank you so much for giving us a couple moments on the program here. Don't want to talk about the Lakers this year. Just give me a glance into the past. I mean, you've been a part of so many great Los Angeles Lakers series and playoff runs that resulted in championships. Some ended with them exiting the playoffs earlier than expected. However, do you have a playoff series that you hold near and dear to your heart? Do you have a favorite series that you could share with us?
Well, Lakers-Celtics to me is you know, they both have 17 championships, and the next closest team has 7.
Yes.
So, I mean, they're in a class by themselves. So, for me, the 2010 finals where they beat the Celtics in 7 games is always one of my favorite series and always will be, just like the 2008 series was super painful because it takes me back to when I was a kid in the 80s and it was Lakers-Celtics on 3 different occasions.
Yeah.
They met in 84, 85, and 87, and they were all great series. So if you ask me what my favorite playoff series is, it would be when we beat the Celtics because they're so hard to beat. And so it would probably live in that world.
I just have to ask this as a Lakers fan. How crazy was it back in the day, Sacramento, when they had Chris Webber and Mike Bibby and Vlade Divac and Peja Stojakovic, and they're going toe-to-toe with the Kobe and Shaq Lakers, and you got the cowbells and all the festivities going on there in Sactown. What was that like? What was the vibe like between the Lakers and the Kings when that rivalry was at its height?
Well, the 2002 series, which is what you're talking about, is one of the great playoff series of all time.
Right.
It went 7 games, and the 7th game went overtime. And if you remember, at the end of that game, we made a huge defensive mistake and left Peja Stojakovic, their best shooter,
right,
wide open with the game on the line, and he shot an air ball.
Right.
And that's when I knew, oh, gosh, they're starting to get nervous.
Right.
And then, you know, Shaq and Kobe took over the game. But that series was really fun to cover just because that was when Phil Jackson called him a cow town, and everybody in the stands had cowbells.
Oh,
and they were threatening to throw them at us.
And yeah.
Thank goodness nobody ever did. But, it was as much fun and as competitive of a series as you could ever have.
I got to ask you about the late, great Kobe Bryant before I let you go. And this has been such a great interview for me, and I am certainly just humbled by the fact that you're on with me right now and I'm able to speak with you, as I said before during this interview. But Kobe Bryant, you know, he passes away. It still doesn't feel real. I know it rocked the city of Los Angeles when he passed away. The Mamba mentality, I hope, lives within all of us in some way, shape, or form. But you saw him at his infancy coming in as a 17, 18-year-old kid, and you watch him mature and grow up and become an NBA champion and then leave on a high note, scoring 60 points in his final game as an NBA player. Is there a Kobe Bryant story that you could share with us as NBA fans that you love and that you hold dear to your heart?
Well, I could tell you stories for about 6 hours, but since we don't have that one,
right?
I think in order, there's a couple of them that come to mind, but I'll tell you this one.
Okay.
We used to have a assistant coach named Larry Drew. He played in the NBA.
Yes.
He's still in the league. He's still an assistant coach. He was one of our assistants for a lot of years.
Okay.
And he had a son who was a really good player, Larry Jr. He went on to play at UCLA, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So when he was in high school, Larry, his dad, went to Kobe and said, "Hey, would you mind working out with my son? I think he could learn a lot from your work ethic." And Kobe said, "Sure, give me his number." So Kobe got Junior's number and reached out to him and said, "Hey, your dad says you'd like to work out. How's next Wednesday?" Larry couldn't believe it. Junior, he thought, he goes, "Oh, it's unbelievable." He goes, "Okay. How's 4 o'clock next Wednesday?" And Junior said, "That's perfect. I get out of school at 3. I'll rush home, get my gear. I'll be ready to meet you wherever you want at 4 o'clock. And he said,
no.
4 a.m.
Wow.
He goes, "I need you." He goes, "I'll pull up in front of your house at 4 a.m. I'll have you back by 6 so you can shower and go to school."
Wow.
And Junior, in no position to say no, said, "Okay." I'll be ready.
Wow.
And next day, for whatever that Wednesday was, Kobe pulls up in front of his house. He gets in the car, and they go hard for 2 hours.
Wow.
And Junior says, thank you. This was great. Kobe drops him off back at home, and he goes, man, I'm tired. I got to go. I hope I can stay awake for school. What are you going to do? And Kobe said, well, I got to go to practice.
Oh, you're right.
About that.
Right.
He just went 2 hours super hard, and then he had practice at 9 a.m.
Wow.
And that, you hear about the Mamba mentality and the fact that he just wanted it more than other people. That's a great example of why. He just didn't waste time. He didn't do things that would take him away from the eventual goal of being one of the greatest players ever. He worked at it. He thought about it. He devoted his life to it. And I've got, RJ, probably 50 stories like that.
Man.
That are just examples of his work ethic. I'll give you one more quick one. If you have
yes. Can I tell yes. You one more absolutely. One? Please.
Okay. So 1 year we're stuck in Detroit for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Like we played on Wednesday night, we played in Indiana. On Friday night, we were in Detroit.
Okay.
So that Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, we weren't able to play.
Okay.
I mean, we weren't able to go home and
right.
spend Thanksgiving with our families. So Kobe threw a Thanksgiving dinner for the whole traveling party, paid for
wow.
like 65 people.
Yeah.
And one of the things he brought to the party was a ping pong table.
Wow.
And he had never played ping pong.
And
wow. Mike Trudell, our sideline reporter,
yeah.
grew up with a ping pong table and is a really good player. So Kobe said, me against you, Trudell, let's go. And Trudell smoked him, beat him like 21-6.
Wow.
And Kobe goes, okay, let's go again. And Trudell's not backing down because, you know, he's playing Kobe Bryant and he's going to have this memory for the rest of his life.
Right.
And Mike said after the first game, when he beat him, the score in the second game was like 21-19.
Wow.
Kobe had never played ping pong and
yeah.
he figured it out. And then after the dinner, one of our security guys told us the story that he immediately, after he lost to Trudell the second time, went on Amazon and ordered a ping pong table to be sent to his house so he'd be ready to beat him the next time.
This is incredible.
That type of mentality was with him all the time. And I that's why I miss him so much, because he was just so inspirational
absolutely.
To anybody he dealt with, because it would make you work harder just whenever you talk to him or wherever you were around
yeah.
him. So it's a huge loss to everybody, not just to basketball fans, but to everybody. You grew up in L.A., you know this.
Yeah.
That he was like a beacon of everything that was great about the Lakers.
Absolutely.
And I feel really lucky. I mean, you can probably tell. I feel really lucky that I got to my first year in L.A. was his first year in L.A.
Wow.
So that's what I call my Irish luck. I got the whole Shaq and Kobe ride.
Yep.
And then I got the Kobe and Powell ride. And
yep.
I probably saw more of Kobe's games than almost anybody.
Oh,
and
yeah.
so I feel that I'm really lucky that I was able to do that.
And it feels like that just speaks to the type of person Kobe Bryant was. I mean, I was there visiting a couple friends in Los Angeles when the memorial service was happening. And I mean, Monrovia, Arcadia, and the city surrounding it, and especially Los Angeles and downtown LA, it just didn't feel right. It felt empty when I was there, because one of not only LA County and San Gabriel Valley and Inland Empire, not only had one of their heroes fallen, but the world had lost just a mentor and a hero. And it really hasn't felt the same since Kobe Bryant has passed away. But you never really heard these type of stories when Kobe Bryant was alive, and you sure didn't hear these stories when he was playing. Now you got guys like Tim Thomas and Allen Iverson and Chandler Parsons telling all these different stories about him, former players, as well as media members telling these stories about Kobe Bryant. And in fact, I mean, we had Mike Trudell on just a couple of months ago, and he told that exact same story about you guys being in Detroit and Kobe paying for not only the players, but the whole entire travel team, paying for Thanksgiving dinner so that those guys could be able to have a Thanksgiving because they weren't able to have one with their families. And it wasn't going to stop there. We were going to watch him in the second act of life with the hashtag girl dad, and it's just really, really sad to have to put our minds around the fact that he is no longer with us. But Kobe Bryant, and you seeing him exclusively as you were able to see him, he was really one of the good guys that we had, not only in the NBA as a player, but just also as a person overall. And like you said, and I certainly know it, I could sit here for hours and listen to Kobe stories, and you could sit here for hours telling them.
Right. And again, I'm glad you had Mike on and he told you that story, but I got 50 more of those. Yeah. He was like every once in a while, and I think LeBron's like this too, you get a once-in-a-generation player, somebody that is just you're going to remember for the rest of your life, and he was that guy.
Absolutely. That is John Ireland. He is the radio voice of the Los Angeles Lakers. I have to cut it off because I could stay with this man for days. But Mr. John, thank you so much for coming on the program with us, and hopefully we can do this again down the line, sir. I'm very honored that you came on my little show, and just thank you so much again.
You're very welcome, RJ. I'd be happy to come on anytime. Have a great day.
You too.
It's All Hoops. Open Gym on 1010XL.
Thank you to John Ireland for giving us that insight to the Los Angeles Lakers. What I'll do is I'll put the full interview in post, because he did talk about the Lakers come this offseason, should they be in the Trae Young sweepstakes. Also gave us some remarkable Kobe stories as well. So want to do a little series where we talk to members across the association of teams who are in the playoffs and get their insight. So next week should be the Boston Celtics. Just got a text back from somebody. I'll just give you a hint. He is an NBA legend. Unfortunately, no, it's not Larry Bird, but he did play with him.
It's Kevin Garnett.
Yes.
Oh, he played with Larry Bird.
Yeah. If it was Kevin Garnett, I'd love that too. Really quickly, before we get out of here, want to give our final predictions to each and every series when it comes to these NBA playoffs. So I have the Orlando Magic defeating the Cleveland Cavaliers in six games. They lost game one yesterday by a final score of 97-83. JJ, what say you?
All opposite. I like Cavs in six.
Cavs in six. Okay.
Obviously easier after a game's already been played.
Exactly. Minnesota defeating the Phoenix Suns 120-95 to take a 1-0 series lead there. I'm going to take Minnesota in six. I'll do that as well.
I'm going to say Phoenix in seven.
Wow. Okay. Yes. Hopefully they turn that around. The Knicks take on the Sixers. This one is a big conundrum, but I'm going to go with the Knicks in seven.
I'm going to go with the Sixers in seven.
The Nuggets against the Lakers. Oh, God. Let's just pack the bags already. If game one is a testament to how the series is going to go, I have the Nuggets sweeping the LA Lakers.
Yeah, Nuggets in five.
We'll talk about the other series next week and give our predictions there. Thank you to JJ LaSelva for sitting in with us, talking about the latest across the association with the NBA playoffs. I'm RJ Saunders. Enjoy Sunday's game ones in the NBA. We'll see you here next week on Open Gym.